Take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I've been privileged to preach the Word of God in this pulpit for the last couple of weeks. To me, I really enjoy this. I hope you don't mind that. This is good. And I love the Word of God. I love preaching the Word of God. And I love the way the Lord does a work in the hearts of people. There's no greater thing to do than preach this book. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What I'm going to do is read verses number 16. And I'm going to read down to verse number 24. It says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time of preaching. I thank you for the Word of God. I do pray, Lord, you do a work in the hearts of everyone in this room, including myself. I do pray you draw souls to salvation. Draw the saints, Lord, to a greater maturity in thee. And I pray we do greater things for you as a result. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. It's one thing that the Lord has been speaking to my heart about in the last little while is the aspect of the inner life. The Christian life is far more about what God's doing in us than what we're doing outside of us. And I think that's really the key to understanding of how we can move forward for Him is allowing Him to do that work inside of us. There's a great work to be done. It's an inner work. The Bible here, what it's doing is it's giving us many things that we need to understand in order for God to do that inner work inside of our hearts. Rejoicing, praying, thanking, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to control us, proving all things, all these admonishments here are for us so we can have the inner life that God wants us to have. But the one I want to point out this morning is, you'll find in verse number 19, it says, "Quench not the Spirit." Quench not the Spirit. To quench means to extinguish or to put out or to quench a flame. To still or to make quiet, to repress, to quench a passion, to quench an emotion. We know in Ephesians 6:16, the use of this word is, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So in the same way, in a positive way, we can use the Word of God to quench the temptations of Satan as he shoots his darts at us, is the same quenching we can do on the Holy Spirit of God. And it's unfortunate, but we do that. We do do that. The Spirit of God comes into our hearts the moment we place our complete trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. What a great truth we have when the Bible says in Ephesians 1:12-14 that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. He's going to get glory out of us. He wants to get glory out of our lives, but in order to do that, we have to be sealed. So He puts His Spirit inside of us so that we can be sealed and we can be kept until the day of redemption when He's going to come and pick up His bride or pick up His purchased possession and take it home with Him. And at the end of all that, Jesus will be glorified for what He has done for us. But you know, the inner life begins with the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. Once He is in, He never gets out. He is always in your heart. He's always in your life. He will not leave you. He will never forsake you. He is a constant friend. He is a comforter. He is an advocate. He is someone that draws up alongside and will never leave you ever again. But you can quench His power in your life. You can quench His purpose in your life. And that's very common for us in the day and age in which we live, when Christians love the world more than they love God. The Old Testament, the pattern of it, if you will look in the book of Exodus and so on, you would see that it is a pretty average-looking tent. There's nothing really good-looking about it. Badger skin, you have some other colors involved with that and so forth. But on the inside, what you see is something very special. You see a lot of gold. Amen? Gold is really a picture of God, of divinity. And so you look at the believer's life, we're nothing special on the outside. There's nothing really great when you look at me and say, wow, great. But I'm going to tell you something, there is something on the inside. And to those of you that are born again here today, you may not be nothing on the outside. You may be saying, you know, I'm not very much. But I'm going to tell you something, when you get on that inside, there is divinity in there, placed there by God Himself. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, and just much like that tabernacle. But you know, in the tabernacle, man was given some responsibilities that they had to take care of in order to keep that function going in serving and worshiping God and becoming useful for His honor and glory. If you go walk into that tabernacle, you would go into the gate there, and what you would do is you would see to the right-hand side, you see a table that was stacked with bread. That was called the table of showbread. Right in front of you, you would have what's called the altar of incense, and that would be directly in front of you and in front of the next compartment, which was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was sitting. On the left-hand side, what you would see is a golden candlestick. And that golden candlestick, the Bible says, was made of pure gold, beaten into shape. It would have seven branches with seven bowls. Those seven bowls would be filled with oil, and that light from that candlestick was supposed to illuminate the inner area of that tabernacle so that when the priests went in, they would see all they needed to see so they could worship and serve God acceptably. The lamp was to burn continually. In Exodus 27, verse number 20, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." Leviticus 24, verse 2, "Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually." Now, there's one thing I know. If those lamps are going to be burning continually, that there would have to be somebody that's looking after the lamps. And not only that, they had to bring that oil, not just one time, they had to go over and over and fill up the bowls over and over to keep that lamp burning in that tabernacle. My message today is, don't let your lamp go out. Don't let your lamp go out. Now the Holy Spirit of God is with you. I already said He is not going to leave you, but the fire and the passion and the power that He wants to put inside your life can be quenched and your lamp can go out. And what I want to do is encourage you to continue on. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We know that the apostles on the day of Pentecost were filled with the Spirit. The day of the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God, that day they were filled. We know a little bit later on in Acts chapter 4, guess what? They went through some things, they got beat up a little bit, they went back to God, they got filled with the Spirit again. The lamp had to be continually filled up so the lamp would not go out. And I'm going to tell you something. When it comes down to some of the things you go through in the Christian life, some of the battles you face, some of the persecution that you go through, you're going to have to be careful that you fill up your lamps. How do we quench the Spirit of God? It basically comes down to this, and I could give you a list of sins and issues and things that will steal away the light of God in your life, but can I tell you, it's basically this: not yielding your life to the purpose of God. That's really what it's all about. Now, if you go to John chapter 7, verse number 38, notice what it says here. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he was giving some insight in here into something that wasn't happening yet, but that was going to happen. Well, the Holy Spirit of God, indwelling the believer, would not just sit there, but actually flow through the belly of the believer. Now, how is it that I can quench the Spirit of God? How can I not yield to His purpose? Can I tell you something here? There's a reason why He said belly. He didn't say out of the heart. I mean, that to me, that would be more poetic. Out of the heart will flow the Holy Spirit. No, out of the belly. What's the belly? Say, that's pretty easy. What the belly is? The place of your appetite. It's a place of your appetite. You know, there's one thing that's going to keep us from being a Christian that is going to be full of the light of God and continually filled and continually being used, and continually allowing the Lord to work through us, and that is we are going to either serve our belly, or we're going to serve Christ. In Romans 16, verse 18, it says, "For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." It's not so hard to be deceived. It's not so hard to be manipulated into doing something that thinking you're doing the right thing when you're actually not. Your belly, it's not just talking about alcohol and drugs. It's talking about your pride. It's talking about wanting to be on top. It's talking about your bitterness. It's talking about, don't treat me like that. The appetites of your life is we're constantly in our belly trying to satisfy ourselves, and instead of having the Holy Spirit work out through our belly, what we do is we feed our belly, our appetites. The Bible says in Philippians 3:18, "For many walk, as whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." There's the key. What's going to keep us and our lamps from burning the way that they ought to burn is we're going to be minding earthly things. We're going to be focusing on those things which are on the earth and not those things which are above. Our belly hates serving Jesus. And Jesus despises us serving Him in the flesh. The Bible says that no flesh shall glory in His presence. In Revelation 10:9, it says, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me a little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." What the Word of God does is make your belly bitter. But it sure is sweet to talk about. It sure is good to hear. But it's going to make your belly rebel against you. Your belly's not going to like it. your appetites. It's going to cost you something. It's going to make you give up something. It's going to make you yield your appetites. That's why fasting, God asked for fasting. Fasting is the putting down of your flesh and the putting down of your belly so that you can enter into the presence of God and He can know that you truly want Him to do something in your life. Putting the belly down. So when the believer, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and it flows out of his belly, the Holy Spirit, that means even the appetites of my life are being controlled by the Spirit of the Almighty God. Well, that's not easy to do, is it? We have to yield. We have to give God control in our life. Why ought we not to quench the Spirit? Can I tell you this? Because the Spirit of God is the only light that we have in our lives. There is no other light for you to turn to. In that tabernacle, there were no windows, no patio doors. You go into that tabernacle and those curtains shut, if that light is not burning, it is completely dark. It was important. Without that light, they could see nothing. They could do nothing. So why is it important that we do not quench the Holy Spirit of God in our life? The important thing is because if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God showing you things in your life, you have nobody showing you anything. He needs to help you. The lampstand provided the only light the tent had. Not only that, but because every part of our life is affected by the Spirit's light in our life. Exodus 25:37 says, "And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it." The Bible says in Proverbs 20:27, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Amen. What the Spirit of God does in your heart, it illuminates everything. It lights up everything. And I'm going to tell you something. If you let that lamp go out, you'd be surprised the things that you would do. You'll be surprised the reason why you're doing the things you're doing. See, when the Holy Spirit of God is shining in your life, He's showing you not only what you're doing, He's showing you why you're doing it. And He's showing you what are you trying to accomplish. What are you truly trying to do with what you're doing? He shows you things about your life you'd never think of if you didn't have Him guiding your life. You need Him. You need Him to be strong. You need that fire burning bright. You need Him to reveal the parts of your belly that you don't even like to talk about. But God needs to be there to do that. So what happens? You know, because there was a couple of times in Israelite history where actually the lamps did go out. There was a time in Hezekiah's day when he became king. You know what? They went there, the lamps were out. In fact, the doors were broken. They had to repair the temple. They had to go in, they had to clean it all out, pull out all the junk. And then they had to go in and light the lamps again and get it all ready to go again. There was a time of Eli. What a dark history in the period of Israel there, where when Eli was a high priest and Samuel was just growing up as a child given by Hannah, and how that the Bible says that the lamps went out. His sons were after the belly to feed the belly and the flesh, and they just wanted to get stuff. They would steal from the sacrifices. They would become immoral. They would do all kinds of wicked things using their position in God's temple. And the lamp would go out, and the lamp was out, and Eli couldn't see, and he didn't restrain his sons. He didn't chastise them. He didn't deal with sin. You know what that is? That's a sign that the lamp is out. And then when God called to Samuel and says, "Samuel," he didn't know. He's never experienced this before. He gets up. He says, "Eli, what do you want?" He says, "I didn't call you." If Eli's eyes would be open, if his lamp would have been bright, he would have known immediately that God was calling Samuel. But he didn't. It took more than 2-3 times for him to actually get it. And what gets me on top of that is why God didn't talk to Eli. He's talking to a little boy in the temple, but he couldn't talk to the high priest. because the lamps went out. I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason why we got to keep the lamps going. It has an effect on our relationship with God and what He can do through us. We have to keep the fire stoked. We got to be filled with the Spirit of God. We got to ask Him over and over every day. And you're going to go through things on the job, and you're going to get hit, and you're going to get hurt. And you need to go home and say, Lord, fill me again. You have to do that. The apostles were beaten. They were sent away. You say, wow, look, they were so happy. But you know what? They went back to their church and said, guys, we're hurting. And they said, well, let's get on our knees. And they started to pray. And they started to, dear God, please help us. And the Bible says that He filled them once again. And they went back out and they preached with boldness of the resurrection. The reason why we're not preaching, the reason why we're not witnessing, the reason why we're not doing what God wants us to do, our lamp's out. What happens when the fire goes out? The first thing is this. When you quench the Spirit of God in your life, the fire of your prayer life goes out. 2 Chronicles 29, verse number 5, and said unto them, hear ye me, Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord, and have forsaken Him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. And they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. They didn't burn incense. You see, if you don't have a light burning inside that tabernacle, you can't go in there and find the altar of incense. That altar is the sweet prayers going up to God's nostrils where He smells that, and He's pleased with us as we bring our sacrifices before Him in prayer. But when your light is out, you can't see that. You can't find it. You don't know where to light it. You don't know where it is. And you can't find God anymore. It's because the lamp's gone out. The priests had left off from filling the lampstand with oil. And the lights went out. They forgot that they needed to be empowered by the Spirit of God, and the lamps went out. They forgot they had to continually go back to the Lord and ask for filling, and the lamps went out. And the Bible says we're supposed to pray in the Spirit, not in the flesh. In Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Second thing is, when you quench the Spirit, the fire of understanding goes out. The fire of understanding. The lampstand illuminated the table of showbread, which pictures God's spiritual provision for His priests. Matthew 4:4, it says, but He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Without the Holy Spirit illuminating your inner heart, your inner life, you will not have the understanding of the Word of God. You will not be able to understand what you're reading. You will not be able to even have a desire to read the Word of God. You need to be filled to understand the Bible. Amen. And what we need today are Christians that do understand the Bible. We need Christians that do study the Bible. And that we go to the book to get something from God. That's what helps you to help others. That's what helps you to help yourself. The Spirit gives understanding of God's words. What a perfect example there when Eli couldn't hear God anymore. Not only can you not talk to Him, but you don't hear Him. Well, I just don't know what God wants me to do. Well, then you got to go find out. Just don't go do something for the sake of doing it. What we need to do is go to the Word of God and get Him to direct us. You know, I'm convinced that we need to get back to the Word of God today. Amen. I think this has become a nice little thing that we put on our table and bring us under our arms at church. But where are the men and women that are going to study this book to understand what it is trying to tell us so we can live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me? We need the Word of God today. We don't just need the book, we need the understanding that goes with the book. And that only happens as we are filled with the Spirit of God, as we yield ourselves to His control, then we'll begin to understand the book. I don't care where we are in our Christian life, whether we're mature or whether we're very young. You could just be saved yesterday. I'm going to tell you something, God wants to teach you something. And that's not a matter of pride for one over the other. The fact of the matter is, the question just simply has to be, is God speaking to you through His Word? Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. That's what we start to do when the lamp goes out. When the lamp goes out, we start hanging on to our little pet doctrines. We start pushing our little ideas. When the lamp goes out, we don't get any fresh stuff from God, no fresh bread from God. We don't get that daily provision to help us through the day and help us through the week. We don't get that daily provision that we can go to somebody on the job site and give them exactly what God wanted them to have that day. That's what you get in the morning. That's what you get when you read the Word of God, when you have the light on. Amen? Like I said, it doesn't matter if you're mature in the faith or young in the faith. It doesn't matter what. One truth is one truth. And if you got one truth today and one truth tomorrow, that makes two truths, and that's good. The next day you get another one, and that's good. And you continue to get more truth and more truth, and let the line upon line and precept upon precept start building the building of your life and become what God wants you to be. Christian, is our lamp gone out? The fire of understanding goes out. The Spirit uses truth to make you like Jesus. If you're not getting truth, you're not becoming like Jesus. And that should be the greatest desire of your life, is to become like Jesus. Become like Jesus. It's not to become a good Baptist. It's to become like Jesus. I want to be Christ-like. Hey, I've had people say, oh, but I've messed up. Well, then be Christ-like and getting right. You can be Christ-like all the time. You can be Christ-like when you've done wrong. You can be Christ-like getting right. If you're right, you can be Christ-like getting better. You can always be Christ-like. There's no way, there's no place in your life where you can say, oh, it doesn't count for me. It always counts. And it always works. But you got to keep your lamp lit. You got to keep your lamp lit. When you quench the Spirit of God, the fire of soul winning goes out. This is easy to do. You know, I got to work at keeping my burden for souls. I got to think about it all the time. I got to think about people that are lost going to hell. I got to think about my place and how God's trying to use the church to win our community to the Lord. I want to think about that. I want that to be in my heart and mind all the time. I want to think about the missions conference coming up at the end of the month here. I want to be ready for that. I want to win souls for Christ. I want to go if I need to go. But I want to be a part of God's plan. But it's so easy to let the lamp go out. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Ghost gives us the power to witness when our lamp has gone out. You know, when the lamp has gone out, I can't find my way to the mercy seat. Oh, the Bible says that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. But not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You know, that word propitiation is the same word for mercy seat. When that light goes out, I no longer get to the mercy seat. I no longer have the burden for souls. I no longer have the mercy for souls. I no longer want them to receive mercy. I become bitter. I become critical. I become angry. I stop caring about people. That's what happens when the lamp goes out. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. They be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. We cannot be that kind of a witness if we're not going to have our lights on. Let your light so shine before men, the Bible says, that they can glorify the Father which is in heaven ultimately. The light's got to be on. The Holy Spirit has to be empowering our lives. Our bowls have to be full. The fire has to be lit. And that is not a one-day event. That's a daily event. Today, Lord, fill me. I appreciate preaching the last couple of weeks. It's gotten me real close to these truths. You just don't come up in front of 600 people just expecting to give them something from yourself. Then you begin to see how useless you really are. But then you get to see how great God really is. Folks, do you understand how much God wants us to work for Him and serve Him, love each other, win souls? Week after week, He calls out to us. Week after week, He fills us. He's a good God. When you quench the Spirit, your love dies for God and others. That's exactly what happens. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. You know, you ever find in your life where you don't have a love for people? You know what's happening? The light. The light is starting to get dim. Can I beg you guys to, before it goes out, to get back on your knees and say, Lord, can you fill it up again? Can you fill it up again? But how do I relight my lamp? You've got to confess your carnality to God. See, the reason why He can't fill us is because we're already full. We're full of our own stuff. And so what we need to do is we need to confess it. It's amazing, back in the 1700s when the Monravian people had that great revival. You know how it all started? They were fighting with each other. And then what happened is they got right with each other. And because they got right with each other, it sparked an awesome revival where they sent missionaries throughout the world. It started a prayer meeting that lasted 100 years. You know what they said? And this is how they compared it. That if they were told to keep the lamp lit in the temple perpetually, then we ought to pray without ceasing. And that's the exact example that they used. 100 years of prayer. You know what they said? Boys, we've got to keep the lamp lit. Boys, we've got to keep the lamp lit. Every week the preacher would say, guys, let's keep the lamp lit. Tell the children, children, keep the lamp. In fact, that's where it all began. You know, it was the children. In the schools, they got together, they started to pray. The little boys and little girls began to get on their knees and call out to God. And one day the preacher in a service stands there and he says, the Lord just wants me to fall on my knees and cry to Him. And he fell on his knees and the people looked at him. God wants us to fall on our knees too. And they all fell on their knees together. And they went back to their God and said, God, fill us. Control us. And it was through those movements and things like that that they reached thousands of souls for Christ. This little community of a couple hundred people ended up sending missionaries throughout the world that even today are making an effect after hundreds of years. That all starts with a lit lamp. Amen. And today, if our lamp is not lit, we need to get with God and say, God, fill my lamp. I don't have the oil. You've got the oil. Give me the oil. Fill up my bowls. Light that fire. And God, please, do it now. And He'll do it now. Why do we think we've got to wait a week for God to work? I'm going to tell you something. You get on your knees this morning and God will work right now. He doesn't wait till tonight. He doesn't wait till tomorrow. He'll do that work right now. But you've got to be willing to let it go. Whatever it is, the bitterness, the fighting, the anger, the sin, whatever it is, just let it go and let God do something in your life and He'll do it this morning. That's how good He is. Empty the bowl that He could put His Holy Spirit in it and let Him light it on fire. But you got to confess your sin. You got to confess your carnality. You need to ask Him for fresh oil for your lamp. Seek the Lord's help in your life. Seek Him for your issues. Seek Him for your situation. Make Him the answer to your problem. And then begin to love others and intercede. Begin talking to God and say, Lord, give me a love for people. And He'll leave you right to that mercy seat. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. God wants to use us, but we have to be filled.